like to read three passages from the Bible, and I'm just going to start reading in the Epistle to Romans, on chapter 3, verse 9. What then? Are we better? No, in no wise, for we have before charged both Jews and Greeks with being all under sin. According as it is written, there is not a righteous man, not even one. There is not the man that understands, there is not one that seeks after God. All have gone out of the way, they have together become unprofitable. There is not one that practices goodness, there is not so much as one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. Asp's poison is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Swift their feet to shed blood. Ruin and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. In contrast with that, I'd like to read in Peter's first epistle, chapter 2 of Peter and verse 21. For to this have ye been called, for Christ also has suffered for you, leaving you a model that ye should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when reviled, reviled not again, when suffering threatened not, but gave himself over into the hands of him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, in order that being dead to sins, we may live to righteousness, by whose stripes ye have been healed. For ye were going astray as sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And earlier in the chapter, verse 9, but ye are a chosen race, a kingly priesthood, a holy nation, a people for possession, that ye might set forth the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness to his wonderful light, who once were not a people, but now God's people, who were not enjoying mercy, but have now found mercy. You may say that Paul lays it on pretty thick in Romans 3 as to what the natural man is like, but I think he's being very honest about what man is like. I'm not going to go through it detail by detail, I don't think it would be profitable to do so. But reading it just reminds us of what we're like, what men are like. And I think we can see how true Paul's words were, even going as far as to say, swift their feet to shed blood. Solemn fact, how lightly life is treated. And there is no fear of God before their eyes. The root trouble for men, sin, and the fact that they do not consider God's rights over them. They do not consider that there is a God, a God in whose hands our breath is, a God who has the right and the ability to take our breath away just like that. Solemn fact. And yet men go on with no consideration of God at all. And they go down and down and down. Nothing's too bad. No wonder Paul later, reflecting on what he is himself, says, "O wretched man that I am! O wretched man that I am!" He had a sense of his own inability to do anything right in his own power. And he says, "O wretched man that I am!" But he has the answer. He has the answer in Jesus. I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. I wanted to find a scripture to describe comprehensively the difference that is seen in Jesus. I couldn't really find one. I thought of the Song of Songs, and the spouse there goes through the details of the lover, and she starts from the top of his head and goes right down to his legs and says, "He's altogether lovely." That's physical. That's just one side. It doesn't tell us everything about Jesus. And I wonder whether any scripture ever could, because I just wonder whether his greatness and his glory, none of us as human beings could really understand the greatness of who that person really is. But here I thought of this scripture in the second chapter of Peter. It describes the Lord in circumstances where he's facing the opposition. I suppose I could have read Isaiah 53. He's led as a sheep to the slaughter, lamb dumb in the presence of shearers. He opens not his mouth. But here it's a direct reference to Jesus himself. He suffered for you, leaving you a model that ye should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. We think about that. We think about the perfection of Jesus when he was actually here, when he was in the hands of those who hated him, who wanted to destroy him, when he had power. You think about the Lord saying that he had power to call upon those legions of angels to support him, but he didn't. He didn't. He was there in this submissive way. No reply. When reviled, he reviled not again. When suffering, he threatened not, but gave himself over into the hands of him who judges righteously. There he was, the one as the dependent man in the hands of his God, the one who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He was going that way. We know the story so well. But the blessed story of the work of Jesus, who died for us, who was prepared to go all the way. You think about the way that Jesus knew exactly what he was going to go through in a way that we never could. You and I may have plans for tomorrow. We may have things that we've got to do tomorrow. But we have no idea what tomorrow is going to bring forth, as we often say. But Jesus knew exactly what it was going to be to bear my sins in his own body on the tree. We see something of it shown in the account of him at Gethsemane, that he knew what was before him. He felt the awfulness of it, and yet he was prepared to go forward. What a saviour. What a saviour. My saviour and your saviour, who himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. It's interesting the way how often scripture uses that term, born in his body or something like that, just to remind us how personally Jesus felt all these things. Everything was personal to him. He felt it as a man, and yet he was prepared to go through with it. Those nails in his hands and his feet, the crown of thorns, and then even deeper and fuller, the whole weight of God's wrath, which he bore in those hours of darkness for me. What a saviour. My saviour, Jesus, by whose stripes ye have been healed. I love to think about that. Not just those stripes removed, not just those things that I've done wrong, but whose stripes we have been healed, made well again, made fit for God's presence. We were going astray as sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. What a lovely touch that is. We've returned to the overseer and the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Peter speaking to the sojourners of the dispersion, those who'd left Jerusalem as a result of the persecutions and who needed encouragement, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Isn't that lovely? Peter's encouraging them to stay by the shepherd and overseers of your souls. That's Jesus himself. Still available as saviour, but as a shepherd and as an overseer of your souls. But I read the final little passage to give a different view of what we should be. Ye are a chosen race, a kingly priesthood, a holy nation, a people for a possession. What a difference. What a difference. Is it any surprise that we should be different from people around? Ye are a chosen race, a kingly priesthood, a holy nation, a people for a possession. Why? Why? That ye may set forth the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. We're to be here as ambassadors, in a dark, dark scene, as shining for Jesus. In a foreign country, can we say. Ambassador serves the king or the queen in another country. Lives in an embassy which shows something of the character of the country from which he comes. His policies have to reflect those of the country from which he comes. He has to reflect the government's view of the day in that country. And we're like that. We've got to set forth the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness to his wonderful light. Well, we've spoken about the darkness that's all around. But we've been called out of that to his wonderful light. And he says, who were not enjoying mercy, but now have found mercy. I'm here as one who has found mercy. I needed it, I found it. Thank God that that mercy is available. And it's still available to the sinner today. Whosoever will, as we've already said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. God wants you to move from that morass of sinful humanity to be those who set forth the excellency of him who has called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And we are called to do something, show in some measure something of that wonderful light, because we have been shown mercy by our blessed Saviour and by God, who's a God of grace and a God of mercy, God of love. What a message. A message for 2014. A message for me, a message for you, and a message for anyone who's prepared to listen to what God is saying to us. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today for his name's sake. Amen. Amen.